Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Success Story, the most useful podcast in the world. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. The Success Story podcast is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. The HubSpot Podcast Network has other amazing podcasts like No Straight Path, hosted by Ashley Menzies Babatunde. Now, by shedding light on the stories behind the shiny resumes, social media highlights, and job titles, No Straight Path aims to humanize success from the millennial perspective. Featuring guests from all walks of life, No Straight Path aims to inspire conversations around the nuanced perspectives of success. Now, if some of these topics hit home, you're going to love this show. Success is all about maximizing happiness. An interview with Esther Agbaji about finding your voice. Success is communal with Yvonne Doc Aswad. Now, if these topics are interesting to you, make sure to check out No Straight Path wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today, you're going to hear myself and Cap Chatfield at Podcast Movement. Cap Chatfield is the CEO of Reveal Media. They are a B2B podcast agency. We speak all things B2B podcasting. So how to use podcasting for your business. It could be selling a product to a business. It could be selling a product to a customer. But ultimately, how do you use a podcast to build your brand, drive revenue, market, create more content? We cover all of this and more. All right. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day to join Cap and myself. My name is Scott D. Clary. I'm going to be walking through this presentation with Cap Chatfield. I'm going to give him a second to introduce himself on B2B podcasting, what it is and why you have to start considering it for your company. It's a huge opportunity. Now, a little bit of background on me. I obviously am an avid podcaster. I do a lot of other stuff too. So my podcast, it's called the Success Story Podcast. I interview incredible people. We're part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. That's sort of like the side hustle turned into a very serious hustle. I also have worked in sales and marketing across a variety of organizations. And right now I am Chief Executive Officer of OnMePatch. We are a health tech and wellness company. We do transdermal vitamins. So an extremely exciting venture for me. I've done a few different things in my career, but this is my most current iteration. So amazing to meet all of you, and hopefully this provides an incredible amount of value. So Cap, thank you for joining me and give yourself an intro too.
Yeah, thanks, man. So yeah, my name's Cap Chatfield. I'm the CEO of a B2B video podcast agency called Reveal Media. And I'll just give a little bit of backstory about how Scott and I met. So we have our own show as well, called B2B Podcasting, of all things. Not the sexiest title, but at least you know what it's about. And we had Scott on our show this past fall. We had a great time talking about his show, his, you know, philosophy behind what we call show marketing, how to use a show in order to build just awareness for your leadership, build relationships at scale. And since then, we've built this relationship, and that's where he felt compelled to invite me to be a part of this. And we'll talk a little bit about how B2B podcasting, as far as the ROI goes, can lead to some really cool relationships that you otherwise wouldn't be able to find yourself in. And so I'm excited, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
No. I'm super excited to do this. Okay, so let's pull this up, because then we can just riff off some of the topics that we put together. So the ROI, so the return on investment of B2B podcasting. Let's start going to the presentation. You know who we are now. Obviously, when you think of podcasts, there's a wide variety of different types of categories and topics that you'll listen to. But something that's sort of near and dear to my heart, because I mentioned that I'm actually a CEO of a direct consumer and CPG brand now, but for the majority of my career, I worked in enterprise and B2B sales, and I've worked in a variety of different roles that sort of were revolving around tech. And I think that
In the enterprise space or in the B2B space, I don't think that people have adopted podcasting as a marketing strategy or as a marketing medium as much as they should. And this is something that now Cap does exclusively for brands. This is how he sets them up. But today I'm going to speak to you about why you should care about podcasting if you are a B2B brand, coming from experience leading revenue and marketing, sales and marketing for B2B brands, and all the different ways that you can set it up for short, medium, and long-term benefit for your organization. So there's, you know, in terms of like literally the second you press record all the way through to how it's going to impact your marketing, how it's going to impact your sales, and most importantly, your revenue and all those other KPIs that if you're a functioning business you care about, that's what B2B podcasting can do for you. So a couple just points. Just on this particular slide, and we'll go into each one in more detail. So it will help you streamline your narrative. It will help you basically communicate your narrative as a business in a much more meaningful and authentic and almost trust-building way, a little bit different than just putting out content on social. And we all know that if a brand is putting out tons of content on social, sometimes they have a really hard time connecting with their audience. Like, when was the last time you commented on a post on LinkedIn by Coke, for example? Like, that's not something that many people do. It accelerates relationships with stakeholders that you will eventually want to connect with and could potentially be decision makers or buyers for your product. Again, distributes content at scale. It's a great content marketing tool. And then, of course, generating demand. Cap, go for it. What else?
I would just say, you know, we all have a content problem these days, right? I mean, we're in a post-COVID world. I was just reading this deck by this group called the Edelman Group. They partner with LinkedIn every year, and they basically create like a thought leadership impact study. In other words, how does thought leadership content actually influence B2B, you know, business decision making? And one of the things that I discovered as I was reading that was, as you could imagine, post-COVID, there's so much more demand for content on the internet in the B2B world. I mean, the buyer's journey has just changed dramatically. People aren't, you know, they aren't needing to do business belly to belly anymore. They're actually willing to make pretty large transactions over the internet. But in order to build that trust with your audience, you have to have content that allows them to get to know who you are on their own terms. So just like you were saying, Scott, just about that trustworthiness. But the thing about creating a ton of content is, like, if you try to create too much content, sometimes what you do is you compromise on the depth of that content. Conversely, if you go too deep with your content, where most B2B thinking about like papers and webinars, they haven't figured out a system to be able to scale that so they can create content that creates all of the touches that's needed for us in the digital world today. I firmly believe, and I know that you believe this too, Scott, because I see the flywheel of how you build your own brand. The B2B podcasting model, particularly the video podcasting model, is the most efficient, effective, and elegant way to create meaningful content at scale, which allows you to build that relationship with your audience. But, you know, it sounds great on paper, Scott. I think you and I could agree that it sounds easy. Gary Vee talks about this stuff all the time, but when you put a pen to paper and you try to actually make this thing happen, there's a lot of challenges. And so I'm going to go to the next slide and just show, you know, what's the dark side of B2B podcasting. And so, Scott, I'll let you take it from here, but like, what are some of the challenges that we see when B2B brands, they first get excited about possibly starting a show, but then when push comes to shove, they're like, oh my goodness, this is way more challenging than I thought it would be.
I mean, the average CMO, these are the words that like immediately come to mind. Like, they're not too hard to comprehend. Like, expensive, like, how do I do it? The production, the hiring the team to do it. I don't know what the, you know, my I don't have a position in my organization between the person that writes my copy and my graphic designer and my head of, you know, performance marketing or, you know, somebody who focuses all on social. Like, I don't really have that role already within my organization. So I have to make the decision, like, am I going to hire somebody net new, or am I going to try and figure out somebody in my existing org to sort of manage this? And it's an expensive decision. And mostly it's expensive because what's expensive in B2B, right? Or what's expensive in any marketing campaign, it's when it can't be measured. So I could totally justify maybe like a $60,000, $70,000 salary if I could measure the ROI of the activity of that person. But I'm going to just, I guess we can sort of skip time consuming because that sort of speaks to itself, but hard to measure success. So if I have somebody who is constantly putting together, you know, a script for a podcast, reaching out to guests. So there's all these different steps. So if we actually, your cat, walk me through the steps when you do all the different steps. And then, because I want to sort of frame why it could be risky or expensive or time consuming based on all the different steps. But then we can talk about how to do it at scale. So what are the steps involved in podcasting?
Okay. Oh, man, I'm glad you asked. You know, what we've discovered even in our sales process is, you know, there's that phrase, people, they try to justify an emotional decision through reason. And so we have people that come to us, they're excited about the idea of starting their own show. And then once we start to talk about, you know, what it's going to take to do it, they're like, oh my gosh, like, couldn't we just hire an intern to do this ourselves? And then when we start to unpack what I'm about to share with you, they start to realize, whoa, okay, this is not just an intern's job, especially if this is for a B2B company that has a reputation at stake, right? And so we work with our customers. The first thing we do is we work on strategy. What's the purpose of this show? Ultimately, what's the business development objective that we're trying to accomplish through this show? I mean, I wish every company had the luxury of just having some side cash that they could say, yeah, let's do like a fun venture and just see what happens. No, companies are trying to be very strategic about how they leverage even a content strategy like this to perform some sort of business objective, right? So we focus on what that objective is. We get clear on who the audience is that they want to reach in order to meet that objective. Maybe it's a customer. Maybe it's actually internal people. Maybe it's recruits. I mean, we're going through like the biggest hiring shift, I think, in workplace history, quite honestly, where people are just, they're having a hard time finding talent, keeping talent. How could they do a show to help find and retain quality talent for the organization? So who's that audience? And then finally, number three, what's the premise for the show that connects those two things, to connect the audience, to connect that audience, to move them towards that objective? You create that show strategy, then you create the branding for the show, which really matters. You want to make sure that it fits the feel of your organization. We say everything communicates something. So even like the music you're using, the colors, the fonts, the dynamic, the flow, the length of it, the frequency of output, really creating a clear strategy for the production and distribution. Then we help them think through the actual season map. So this is where we talk about, hey, you got 12 episodes in a season, roughly. What are those episodes going to be? Who do you want to invite on your show? What do you want to talk about? What objections in the sales cycle do you want to punch holes in through the content that you're producing so you can equip your sales team? Those are all the things that you want to think about so that you're not going in blind. Then you actually begin recording your podcast. Well, first, before you record it, you got to promote it. You put word out there on LinkedIn. You tell your current email list, hey, we're starting a show. You start inviting those future guests on the show. You schedule the times to record those episodes. And then you got to take that content and you got to basically produce the full episode video, full episode audio, transcribe the audio so you can make a blog post or show notes out of it. Then you create the micro content for social media. You got your micro videos, you got your social graphics, you create an email newsletter. Then you got to distribute it all. And then you got to write the copy, all the social captions for all of that content. And then you got to go on the back end and actually measure the effectiveness of that content. So I know, like, I just rattled off a ton of different things to you, but as soon as I have Scott, you could tell me how many people do you think it would take to actually execute a project that big?
Well, it would be project manager plus coordination across almost every piece of your marketing team if they have bandwidth for it. Like, there isn't a piece of, between the copywriting to the show notes, to the research, to the guest invites, to the emails, to the video edit, like everything. It's like it touches every piece of your marketing team, which is why, again, if you don't know how to measure success, it becomes risky and super scary. So we understand the process. We understand a lot of pieces to it. That's why CMOs will make the decision to do it in-house when they start to actually unpack it. But let's figure out how we actually measure it so then it can make actual sense for a company to take on. I think that's probably the most important thing because we all know it's very time consuming. We all know that it's very difficult to do at scale unless you can figure out how to do it properly. And then we can sort of actually, so we'll go through that and we'll show you the benefits of how to do it effectively. Actually, sorry, we'll show you the benefits of if it's done effectively, but then we can also speak about how to do it effectively so that it isn't as much of a lift.
Yep, love it. So Scott, if I can, I'd love to just jump into this real quick.
Yeah, because
as we're having this ROI conversation, one of the things that we really try to help people really in the qualifying phase of our own sales process is, how do you think about ROI? And so for any, if you're a B2B enterprise out there, or even a B2B solopreneur or a small business owner, there are ways that you can do this on your own. I'm not saying that you have to hire an agency to do it for you. I mean, Scott's a great example. Scott does a lot of his own content creation on his own. It does take him a considerable amount of investment of time. He's really got a knack for it too. Some businesses are in a place where they can do that, others aren't. But here's what I would say is really
important. But the thing is, I want to say the point is, you should be doing it regardless. So we're going to talk about 100%. Why you should be doing it regardless. Yeah.
You should be doing it regardless. But before you begin doing it, what we try to help our customers or just people in our network think about is, there has to be a mindset shift about how you look at ROI. Because yes, there are ways, which we will talk about, where you can actually track how much revenue is being attributed based off of how many listens to specific episodes, or how many, you know, people are consuming certain pieces of micro content on organic social, or even using that organic content to create paid media, which we'll talk about in a little bit, which is exciting. But what we got to talk about more than the revenue is the reputation that you're building as a thought leader. And this is particularly because, as we had mentioned, the buyer's journey has just changed tremendously. And I want, I want to share this. When companies think about revenue first, they start making really weird decisions. And I think, you know, you as a customer, as you're listening right now, you can think about a time when a business only saw a dollar sign over your head, and it made them treat you in such a way, or treat the process in such a way, that really compromised their reputation with you, which actually has compromised more revenue for them in the long run, right? And I think even as a business owner, Scott, I can admit that there's been decisions that I've made that have only looked through the lens of revenue first, and it's compromised reputation, and it's really compromised revenue actually in the long run. And so one thing that I want to help customers think through when they're thinking about doing their show is, if you capitalize on reputation and think about this as a reputation at scale tool, that is going to lead to revenue in the long run. So just a little bit of something to think about as far as the value of reputation for ROI. It will lead to revenue if you do it correctly.
100%.
So we want to make sure that we're timely with, you know, talking about the rest of this. So we are going to cover the short term, medium term, and long term plays for ROI when it comes to doing a B2B podcast well. So Scott, how about you tell us a little bit about the short term, specifically when it comes to key relationship acceleration?
So if you think about the production of the actual podcast, if you want to be producing a B2B podcast, the goal is to create content that resonates with your ideal customer profile, buyer persona, your potential decision makers. How do you do that? It's very tactical. You're bringing on people onto your show, and you're having interviews with them to create that long form content that can in turn be used to be distributed across social, be uploaded as a blog on your website. It can be used for ads later on. But how do you create that initial piece of content, that initial podcast? What's that strategy? Usually a good way is to interview other decision makers that represent your ICP and your buyer persona, your ideal customer profile, your buyer persona, so that all the content that's derived from that key piece can then be useful and can be educational, which is obviously the goal of all marketing. You want to be educational, helpful, and useful for the person that could be buying your product. So relationship acceleration. Why am I speaking of relationship acceleration? Because when you have that initial interview to create that podcast, not only are you creating great content, it's going to be useful for all the other things you're going to be using that content for, but you're literally building a relationship with that person that you're literally sitting in front of, or maybe sitting on a Zoom session with, interviewing. So you're building a relationship with a key decision maker that could be eventually a customer, and you're using that to eventually reach a whole bunch of others through content distribution and all the other ways that we're going to break a podcast down. So Cap, this is something that you put together, which I thought was really interesting. If you've ever sold anything to anybody, you know, it's obviously not easy, but this is just an example of, if you're trying to get somebody on a call as a sales rep, you're going outbound. Cap, speak about your results here.
Yeah, basically, we just did a very simple experiment. I know that anyone who's listening right now who's on LinkedIn, you know what it feels like to get a new connection in your notifications that you're excited about, and you open it up. and you discover that it was some sort of robotic, cold DM to try to sell you or to get you on a demo call. So I did an experiment where I messaged 100 people that represented my ICP to invite them to get on a demo call for our product. I got zero people on that demo call, only five people actually even responded to tell me no. And then, so there's that end of the experiment. On the other end, I reached out to 100 other people that represented my ICP that I felt like would be a genuine fit to be on our podcast. Over 50% of them responded positively and ended up coming onto the show. And so think about that. To get 15 minutes with somebody on a demo call, I got zero responses. To have 60 uninterrupted minutes on a video call to build relationship and really understand how they think about their business, I had an over 50% success rate on that. And so the key is obviously having a great show that your customer or your ICP feels like they'd be a good fit on. But there's something about, they know that they're going to get PR out of it. They're going to get content out of it. It opens the door to begin relationships with people at like such an accelerated rate. So it's undeniable. So let's hop into the medium term now. So Scott, why don't you take it away?
Okay. So medium term, obviously you're going to have a ton of content from these episodes, right? So this is great to use for all of your other marketing activities. First of all, if you're going to be using it for top of funnel content as ads, you can literally, like, if you're going to be using this content properly, you're repurposing it, short little video clips. We're going to talk about using those on social later on, but you can repurpose this as ad content. Again, if the main pillar content is in line with the ICP and the buyer persona, then all the derivatives from that main pillar content is going to be useful in anything else you do in terms of marketing activity. So you can use this top of funnel content as ads, so video ads. Obviously, if you're using it for top of funnel, you're going to fill your pipeline with qualified leads, because how do you know these leads are qualified? Well, they're responding to information that they find useful that, again, aligns with your ICP or buyer persona. That's why it's so important to get that first, the show concept and that pillar content down so pat, so that everything that's derived from that is useful. And then you're leveraging content to shorten sales cycles. So this has a lot to do with content distribution, building trust, right? So if you look at modern day numbers, anywhere between, like, it depends where you look, 70 to 90% of the buyer's journey, all the research that's done is done before somebody even connects with the sales rep. So if you think about that, what's going to resonate more with you? A little text ad or a little text post on LinkedIn from a brand, or perhaps the CEO of a brand interviewing a CMO of another brand talking about something that's really important to you that's going to help you in your job. Obviously, that's going to build a ton of trust. It's going to be way more valuable. And then that's going to allow you to learn a little bit more about the company, feel like that company is more human. You also get to see the people that are involved in the company. You're listening to them. You're watching them if there's video involved. And that's going to basically ramp up your trust with that company, so that by the time you actually communicate with the sales rep from the brand that's putting out the podcast, you've listened to their CEO for like 2, 3, 4 hours. That CEO's had all these intelligent conversations. You've got all these great ideas that you can incorporate and help you with your job, just out of the content that you're consuming that this brand is putting out. So that's going to incredibly expedite the sales process, just because you're putting out this content that is helping basically them get from not knowing your brand to fully trusting your brand and your product before they even talk to any sort of sales rep.
I want to just say, as we finish up this slide, this isn't just theory. Like, the screenshots you're seeing on this slide right now, this is what we're doing as a company for our own product. Taking cuts or clips from our own show, as you can see actually on this list of LinkedIn ads, Scott, we have a clip from an episode we did with Scott as our second ad that we're running. And so the purpose of this is actually not to sell a product with the content we're putting out, but to demonstrate expertise and leverage LinkedIn ads to get that content in front of your ICP at a way faster rate. And it is actually leading to qualified leads entering our pipeline, as you can see that little HubSpot screenshot, that notification we get in our Slack thread. But then also to Scott's point about leveraging content to shorten sales cycles, we create content specifically to help overcome objections in our sales cycles, such as this little PDF that you see. We created an ebook out of an episode that we send to customers that want to understand more about what show marketing is and how it can affect their business. So it can be a very strategic way to help you get in front of your ICP faster and help nurture leads through the sales pipeline. We're coming to the end here, so let's bring it home. Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about the long-term effect that happens okay. when you engage in the B2B video podcast strategy?
So a few things. So this is all great. So far, we've had short-term, we've had conversations with people that could be potential clients. That's a short-term ROI. We're building relationships. Medium-term, we're using it for a content distribution and maybe potentially for creative for our paid ads. And then long-term, let's talk about measuring the actual efficacy of the podcast and the listenership of the podcast and tying that back to sales. So I'm going to talk about just how you can purely measure it. So there's tools like Casted and Podsites. And what these tools allow you to do is they allow you to actually tie back the listeners of a podcast to conversions on your website. So you can, and then also on top of that, you can track the demographics, you can track the location, you can track the age, you can track the, you know, a male versus female. And then on top of that, you can actually see, because what these two particular tools do, and there's a couple others, they can track the IP address of the podcast downloader. They can track the actual session data of the podcast downloader. And then they actually build out widgets that allow you to track the conversions across your different assets and digital real estate. So you can actually understand if a listener of your show is turning into a customer, lead, or whatnot. So that's probably the most direct correlation tied to revenue. So you can use some enterprise tools and sort of analytics focused tools to get a better understanding of how that listenership and that audience is actually converting into dollars. Kat, there's a couple other things you can go into.
I would love to hit the dark social piece, because this is such a big conversation in the B2B marketing world right now, is what's happening in dark social. Dark social, if I can summarize it like this, it's everything that's happening on the internet that can't be tracked neat and tidily in software, you know, in like the spreadsheets or the PDFs that software pumps out. It's the conversations that's happening in internal Slack channels. It's the conversations that's happening through text messaging. Usually these types of conversations are actually the most valuable, because they're happening amongst people where a lot of trust are built. And I want to share this example. This is literally a micro video that you see on the screen right now. This is an example of a micro video that we pulled from an episode with a guy named Steve Schmidt, who's truly a thought leader when it comes to outbound cold calling for B2B companies. In this clip from our episode, he did a 3-minute role play. This was totally spontaneous. We did a 3-minute sales call role play. And this clip, it was so astounding, because it really showed how he does cold calling, and people saw the clip and they just flocked towards it. And not only that, they started to share this clip amongst their internal sales teams, because Steve was able to demonstrate what it looks like to do a cold call well. I reached out to him after that, because he said that he got some business from this little clip that we published for him. This wasn't even his own show. This was just an episode that he hopped on with us on our show. I asked him how much business he generated from that one micro video, and he said he got $60,000 worth of business, because people reached out to him and said, hey, we've been sharing this clip amongst our sales team. We want you to come and train our sales team on how you do what you do. And so, I mean, golly, Scott, like that metric, it just wouldn't have been able to be tracked neatly through HubSpot or through Salesforce or some of these other softwares out there. But the ROI is definitely there. You got to do a little bit of digging. You got to have those conversations. But Steve was able to demonstrate himself as a thought leader in a relatively short amount of time, which absolutely contributed to the growth of his business.
100%. So that sort of wraps up like the short, medium, and long term of podcast ROI. I guess you know, in conclusion, I'll let Cap speak to this slide, but just from my perspective, it's almost ignorant not to, because I find that podcasting, it's ignorant not to start a B2B podcast. And the reason why is because there are not many other channels that sort of build trust, build brand, and then also can be like significant, directly tied to performance objectives, KPIs, revenue, conversion. It's difficult to get all of those things in one channel. You can always have different marketing activities that can be performance driven, like paid media and media buying and whatnot. You can also have more fun activities like speaking at events, and you can argue for the ROI of events and whatnot. But podcasting does all of that, plus it's evergreen, plus it's scalable. So in my opinion, and you know, Cap is the one who does it for businesses. I don't do it for businesses. I just partner with Cap because I love what he does and I believe in it. But I do believe that any business should be focused on this. Go ahead, Cap.
Yeah, I just want to say, if you're in that place right now where you're thinking about doing it, you know, try to get the production out of your mind, try to get creating like really airtight systems out of your mind. Those are things that can evolve. You can, once you begin the content journey, you can start to see, okay, how do we perfect this thing? How do we make this thing more of like a machine? Here's what I would say you need in order to get started. Number one, clarify the business development goals that you hope to accomplish through this show, and the KPIs that you will measure to help you know if you're going in the right direction. Number two, identify that core audience, understand who they are, what do they want, and what stands in their way. Number three, pinpoint a show premise or a show narrative that's gonna reach that specific audience. Bring more value to fewer people. I can guarantee you, if you focus on doing that, it is going to generate business for yourself. And then finally, number four, begin the content creation journey. Just get started. You can get started on your own. I can guarantee that there's ways that you can get started with you, yourself as a solopreneur or with a small team. But I will say, if you are interested in getting some enterprise level help, we are here to help you. You can visit reveal.media. You could book a demo with our team. We'd love to just share a little bit more about our services with you and at least help point you in the right direction as you begin your B2B podcasting journey. So, Scott, thanks so much for having me on. I think this was extremely valuable, not for our audience, but for myself as well.
No problem, man. So obviously connect and follow with both of us. You can hit me up at scottdclary.com or at scottdclary. Caps, what's your social?
Just look me up on LinkedIn, Cap Chatfield, K-A-P-C-H-A-T-F-I-E-L-D, and let me know that you found me by through this keynote that we got to do on Podcast Move.
Awesome, man. Thank you. I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. Just a quick question. Have you ever had one of those oh no moments when you realize that you accidentally deleted a huge file? Or worse, your whole computer dies. I know I have. It's happened to me a lot, but don't sweat it. The sponsor of today's episode, Backblaze, they have your back. It is unlimited backups for all your Macs, your PCs, or even your whole company. And it's really affordable, under $100 a year. If you're running a business, they take the stress out of protecting everyone's data. If you need more bells and whistles for compliance, so on and so forth, they have enterprise options too. Honestly, losing data sucks, but Backblaze makes getting it back easy.
They have restored billions of files. They offer tons of restore options, including rapid recovery in an event of data loss or ransomware. And you can access your backed up data from everywhere and anywhere in the world using their web app, iOS, or Android apps. It's been recommended by the New York Times, Inc., Macworld, PC World, LifeWire, Wired, Tom's Guide, 9to5Mac, and tons more. And best, you can try it fully featured with no risk at backblaze.com/story. They set up that link for all Success Story podcast listeners. That is a no-risk free trial at backblaze.com/story. Seriously, back up your stuff. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.